Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, what's going on? We've made it. It is the final episode of the year. First of all, I just need to say thanks to all of you for listening along. Eric, Matthew, thanks for coming along for the ride this season. Good first year. I'm looking forward to next year. If they'll have us back on, we'll see what happens. But it's episode 20 of the Next Man Up Injury Podcast. We're going to give you a few injury updates going into the last week of the regular season for the NFL, as well as some outlooks for Dynasty in the future and some of our favorite DFS picks for this week, because a lot of us are done with fantasy for the year, but DFS still rolling. So, Eric, speaking of fantasy championships, I'm assuming you won all five as you swept your leagues this year. Is that right?
Easy peasy. Wasn't even a competition.
I'm so proud of you. Matthew, I know you missed out on last week, but you were balling hard in Vegas. Hopefully you just brought all the money home. If you didn't in your fantasy leagues, I'm hoping you at least did in Vegas. But we were talking in our group chat, Eric and I, about Amon-Ra St. Brown after the pod, during the pod, before the pod, everything last week, and you didn't really get in on that. And you texted us last night and said, oh boy, I might need to go off about Amon-Ra St. Brown. So sir, the floor is yours. Please tell us about
Amon-Ra. So here's the thing. It's going around the Twitter sphere that Amon-Ra St. Brown is an automatic sell. And I will admit, if you go by the keep, trade, cut values, his value is right around where I would probably be looking to sell him. If someone came to me with Mike Evans for Amon-Ra St. Brown, okay. But in reality, he's not going for that. And a lot of people were saying, well, sell him for an early second. And I just don't see how someone you took with a late second and then swapping them for an early second after they just posted a 200-point PPR year is helping your team. Now, I'm going to read out some names here because I did a little research yesterday on other players that posted 200-point PPR years in their rookie years. And this is from like the last 10 years. Calvin Ridley, Justin Jefferson, Mike Evans, Keenan Allen, A.J. Brown, Amari Cooper, Chase Claypool, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Thomas, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, A.J. Green, Kelvin Benjamin, Jordan Matthews, Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. That's the list. That's the list of all the players that have done this. And I hear the argument, there was no one else on the team. But guess what? If there's no one else on the team, the defenses can key in on that player. It doesn't magically make people able to catch 10 balls a game for 120 yards and a touchdown. Anyway, that's my spiel. I hope y'all enjoyed it at least. I hope the others enjoyed it. I could go more, but it would take 30 minutes and we don't need to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think you pretty much encapsulated what Eric and I droned on about last week. That was a thing of beauty. Thank you for that. The research you put into that was, I mean, remarkable, honestly.
I'm not even mad. I'm impressed.
I don't know. It blows my mind. People don't want good players on their team, I guess.
Yeah, I think I've talked about it on here before. I think the people get excited about, oh, I get to rebuild. I get to make all the trades. I get to get all the first round draft picks. And it's like, why not just make a couple trades that keep you in contention every year rather than trying to sell the boat? I don't know. That's just my theory on, you know, making money from playing.
That makes too much sense.
Football. I don't know. Some of us are Bill Belichick. Some of us are like, I don't even know who's a coach that can only win one Super Bowl. All right, Mike Tomlin, let's go. All righty. Well, we're here to talk about injuries, so let's do that. We always go by position. We'll start with the quarterbacks first. Lamar Jackson, MIA again this week. Eric, can we see him in week 18? Can we rely on him, or is it going to be the Tyler Huntley show again?
Yeah, I mean, the team is desperate to have him back since they're slipping out of playoff contention. Lamar Jackson has missed virtually four full games. So, you know, I mean, I think this injury is shaping up to be what's likely some kind of moderate grade two low ankle sprain. And, you know, that stinks because you really need at least 4 weeks for these to be reasonable to play on. We've seen, you know, especially last week, videos of Lamar trying to practice through it. And, you know, it seems that the team still considers him week to week. So fantasy managers who are still in, you know, the championships They just have to hold on tight and watch the practice reports to see how he's doing.
Yeah, I'm certainly interested to see if the Ravens will try to push him along and get him to play this week, because, you know, after a hot start, they're still kind of on the bubble. I don't think they've clinched the playoffs yet. Is anybody?
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely, I think they're on a 4-game skid, but they could still make it if they win and certain situations happen. Yeah.
Yeah, but certainly winning will help their cause quite a bit. Matthew, what are your thoughts on Tyler Huntley? Like, he looked very good in his first start. Last week, he looked okay. Do y'all think he might get a shot to start for somebody next year, or at least compete for a starting job?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. I think he's still under contract with them going into next year. So, and I can't imagine the Ravens letting him walk. I would keep him as the backup at pretty much almost by any means possible, because he's literally Lamar Jackson light.
Yeah.
Like, the odds of finding someone else that matches Lamar Jackson's skill set just so perfectly that you basically plug him in and he's able to at least give your team a chance. I'm not saying he's Lamar Jackson, but he gives his team a chance. Now, if I was another team, I would definitely try to snag him and see if you can kind of duplicate maybe what the Ravens have going. But I just don't see a scenario that the Ravens want to get rid of him.
All right. I had to look because I didn't know myself. It is only a 1-year deal with Baltimore. So he is a free agent at the end of this year. So, I mean, if he's a free agent, you're a team that's kind of in need at quarterback, he's worth a shot. I totally agree with you. I think he's probably one of the best complimentary backups, as far as like, if a starter is out and you need somebody to just plug into the offense and not change anything, I think he's probably in the best fit for him. Obviously, there's no other Lamar Jackson in the league, but if you've got somebody that you just need to like replicate it, he's perfect. Or if I'm somebody that's like playing Baltimore and I need to simulate him in practice, Tyler Huntley's perfect. I think he's better than somebody that would just be that, but he's like the quintessential, like, I need to get ready for Lamar Jackson. This guy.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, Matthew, let's talk about Chicago. Justin Fields still dealing with an ankle injury. Do we expect he might be back for week 18?
Possibly. It's been said that if he is healthy, he will start. Now, that's a big if, and to the extent on what do they consider healthy. Is it absolutely 100% healthy? Because that's where I would be at for my rookie QB that we have no way of actually making the playoffs. Why go out there and risk further injury? So that's where I think they would be at, which makes me very hesitant that he will actually be playing this week. We've seen multiple times that quarterbacks with ankle injuries this year are out for a little bit. Look at Kyler Murray earlier in the year. So, especially one that's mobile like him.
Yeah. I mean, if you're Chicago really at this point, obviously they can't outright tank, but winning games only hurts you at this point. You're eliminated from the playoffs. It's only going to get you a worse pick. So kind of dumb to rush it along if you think he gives you a better chance of winning. That's just my two cents. All righty, Eric, this team's in the playoffs, but Joe Burrow, at the end of the game last week, he went down, he grabbed his right knee, wasn't able to finish the last drive, but it looked like he was doing okay in the locker room celebrating clinching a playoff spot. What do we know about his status going into week 18 and beyond?
Yeah, I mean, we saw on video that Joe Burrow was dancing in the locker room, smoking a cigar. You know, and everything that I'm reading and hearing that's coming out of his camp, you know, it speaks like this is a really low grade knee strain and that he'll be good to go on Sunday. So this isn't really something that I'm concerned about. I think that Joe Burrow is a full go this week.
Yeah, certainly good news. And hey, kids at home, just so you know, if you do have an injury, especially a bone injury, smoking delays bone healing. So Joe, stay off the backy. All right. Denver, Matthew, we've got both Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock on the injury report. Obviously, Teddy Bridgewater still in the concussion protocol, but Drew Lock had to come out of the game this week with a shoulder injury. What's the latest there?
So, yeah, Drew Lock left the game with a shoulder injury. They haven't really said what it was. He kind of made comments that he went back to the locker room real quick, got an injection, and then went back in the game. So I imagine if it's still bothering him this week, they'll basically do the same. Like, I'm not worried about Drew Lock missing time. Now, playing Drew Lock in daily fantasy is a different story that we won't necessarily get into. But yeah, I don't. All signs are that Drew Lock will be starting, and that Teddy B's not going to clear the protocol this week. Is at least all how all the questions have been answered thus far. Now, if they get later in the week and Teddy's getting full practices in, then that's a different story. But right now, I don't expect him to clear protocol, and I expect Drew Lock to be starting with a bum shoulder, possibly injected to be numb, and Drew Lock's not that great anyway, to as wrong as I was about that this year.
Me too. I was expecting big things out of Drew, but unfortunately not. Eric, Jared Goff dealing with a knee injury in Detroit. We just going to see Tim Boyle forever, or is Goff coming back soon?
Yeah, I mean, it's sounding like Goff isn't going to play this week. I didn't really find much out there as to what exactly this knee injury is or the nature of its severity. But, you know, we know that he originally injured it about 2 weeks ago during the Arizona game. He technically missed the Atlanta game, I think, because of his COVID, his symptoms. But, you know, I think in actuality, it would have been his knee that would have kept him out anyway. He missed all of last week's practices because of this injury, whatever it is. And, you know, he missed his second straight game last week. So, you know, I think what I read was Dan Campbell is already saying that they're anticipating starting Tim Boyle again. But, you know, there's a chance that Goff beats expectations and plays. But, you know, I think for a team that isn't really looking towards the playoffs at all, that they just might send Tim Boyle back out there.
Yeah, either way, still love him on Ross St. Brown. All right, Matthew, last quarterback for us here. Jimmy Garoppolo suffered a thumb injury, and we saw the first of Trey Lance truly starting with no opposition this week. He finished as QB10. Do you think he's going to hand the reins over? And it's going to be the Trey Lance show from here on out?
I think so, at least for this last week. Now, if they make the playoffs, that might be a different story. Mm-hmm. But Jimmy G, he tore his UCL in his thumb, which I like to call the wobble thumb injury, because basically it makes your thumb quite unstable, and he fully tore it. So it's going to make gripping the football very difficult for him. And you kind of need to do that to be able to throw the ball. Now, he did injure it during the game 2 weeks ago and played the rest of the game. So maybe that's what, maybe he can play through it. I doubt he does though. I imagine he's not going to be able to really throw the ball well and grip it well. 2 weeks is pretty quick turnaround from a UCL complete tear. So I think it's still going to be the Trey Lance show going forward.
Yeah. Totally agree. And moving forward, like into next year and beyond, I certainly prefer Trey Lance. Even if he ends up being a stash for one more season, I think he's going to have a good career if last week's any indication. All right. Moving on to the running backs, we're going to start off in Arizona with James Conner and his heel, Eric. I know we talked about it a good bit last week, but is he going to be good to go this week? Is he going to be limited? What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of cautious optimism coming out of his camp last week about his availability against the Cowboys. He was a late scratch even 2 weeks ago, and fantasy managers got the signal late again this past week that Conner wasn't able, you know, going to be able to go. This really is a pain tolerance issue. So, you know, technically, you know, he could get the green light any week now. He logged a limited practice Friday last week and, you know, was listed as questionable for Sunday's game. So, you know, that kind of tells you that he's close. I think he's got a good shot to play this week. We've seen it twice now where the practice reports, you know, are basically going to be the ones to tell you whether or not he's, you know, he's realistically going to play this week.
Yeah, he was one of those players coming into the season that we were all a little, I don't know how I want to word this, cautious about drafting. And he came up aces this year for Arizona. I mean, scored a ton of touchdowns. He was good in fantasy as well. Scored a ton of touchdowns, stayed on the field fairly consistently, and with the exception of this heel injury at the end of the season. But he's only on a one-year deal. Do you guys feel like Arizona brings him back and signs him, you know, to an extension or just another one-year add on and keeps kind of plugging along to see what he can do? He'll be 27 next season. Do you think they bring him back? Do we think he tests free agency?
And, you know, depending on what he's asking for, I could realistically see another one or probably a 2-year deal. But, you know, I think that the team is trying for a win now, you know, given the reality that they signed AJ Green. And Connor was productive. So, you know, I could see a realistic scenario where they sign him to a 1 or 2 year deal if he's willing to, you know, negotiate reasonably.
Yeah, absolutely. It was only a $1.25 million deal this year. So I feel like it was kind of one of those quote unquote prove it deals. And in my opinion, he proved it. He proved his durability. He proved his skill. Why not give him a couple years and see what he can do for you? Matthew, Kareem Hunt in Cleveland still dealing with an ankle injury. They had some questionable management of their running back room this week with D'Ernest Johnson getting a lot of touches when I felt like Nick Chubb should have been on the field unless he's got a lingering injury that we don't know about. But Kareem Hunt, he's an interesting one this week and moving forward for dynasty purposes that I don't really know what to do with.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt, I'm almost curious if a lot of the decisions that were made during that game, especially with Chubb and Hunt not playing, because he did log some limited practices at the end of last week, Hunt did, if it had to do with Cleveland knowing they're not going to make the playoffs, and why take these two backs and put them through more punishment than is needed. That's all speculation on my part, but now they're eliminated for sure. How much do they try to bring Hunt back? I mean, maybe he pushes the play to kind of try to earn another contract. I think he's a free agent.
Got one more year.
Why would you rush him back at all? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the last week of the year is the D'Ernest Johnson show. They already have Baker Mayfield getting surgery to end the year. So, I mean, who knows at this point?
Yeah, why force anything at this point for Cleveland? But, next year is the last year of his contract in Cleveland. And going into 2023, he will be a 28-year-old running back in the NFL who's seen his fair share of starting. He's backed up Nick Chubb for the past couple of years. But they've been more of kind of a 1A, 1B. What do you guys think about Kareem Hunt dynasty outlook-wise? Is he somebody you're looking to move ASAP, or are you just going to kind of ride into the sunset with whatever you can get out of him?
I think he's a really productive back. I don't think he's a workhorse back. I think that he could easily, you know, be a valuable RB2 most weeks. You know, I think it depends on your team makeup, and it depends on, you know, market value in the micro ecosystem of your dynasty league. But I don't think that I have trouble with him having him on my team, because he will contribute.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think at this point he's probably staying on your team. I doubt you can get much for him in the dynasty format. So you're probably just kind of riding him into the sunset and hoping for the best that he continues to be that 1B going forward.
Yeah, totally agree. I feel like if you're trying to trade him, you're probably not going to get what he's actually worth, just because people are going to be skeptical of what happens in the future with him. All right, Eric, Clyde Edwards-Helaire injured shoulder last week, and we saw a good bit of Darrell Williams. I know you and I were talking about him versus Gore, who is going to be the guy this week, but it was definitely the Williams show this week. So do you think we'll see CEH again this year, or is it kind of wraps for him?
I think it's a wraps for him by way of regular season. I mean, you know, he's likely dealing with either an AC or an SC sprain, and these things, you know, realistically they take around 4 weeks. He missed the last 2 weeks, and the Chiefs are a team that are going to make the playoffs. So I think that the Chiefs are confident enough, maybe even more confident, in their remaining running backs that they have and their ability to produce. And, you know, I think that makes them feel comfortable in just letting Clyde rest, which is what he really needs, you know, especially as a team that's looking forward to playing more football into the postseason. So, you know, I think that Clyde is going to sit week 18, or, I mean, that's realistically what they should be doing.
Is Williams somebody that you're looking to plug into a DFS lineup as a cheaper option?
Heck yeah. I mean, that guy can have a realistic boom week. I mean, it's going to depend on his price and, you know, what the rest of your team looks like, but this guy could score some serious points.
Yeah, absolutely. If you throw him and Tim Boyle in a lineup, you're saving a lot of money. You can get some studs at other positions.
Welcome to the squad, Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, I'm kind of upset that we didn't get the old Laquan Treadwell Jake Fromm song out of Matthew. We might have to figure something out to get music, a musical act out of him next season. But Matthew, Daryl Henderson in Los Angeles has knee sprain. He's now been moved to the IR. So looking at that running back room, it's kind of a mess otherwise, but I think it's going to be Sony Michel. But who do you how do you think Cam Akers' dynasty value is going to look next year with Henderson still on that roster? Do you feel like it's going to be a timeshare there since Henderson had such a good year this year? Do you think Akers will come in and be the one?
Man, and maybe they bring Sony back. Like,
I know that was a really long question, sorry.
But no, I get what you're saying, and like, I don't know. Cam Akers, it's a conundrum. Now, if you've listened, you know that I wasn't even high on Cam Akers really before the injury. And I honestly really hope he proves me wrong. I hope he says, suck it, Matthew. I'm the best running back in the league. But I don't see it. They activated him off IR these past kind of to end the season so that he gets his pension, which I believe y'all mentioned last week. And that's really great on the organization. I doubt we see him this year. It's amazing that he even was activated, but I really think it was just like as a help you out to qualify. So I doubt we see him. Going into next year, I'm off on him because I know people are crazy about him and think he's just going to step in and be this amazing back as the dog barks in the background.
The words of the great Kevin Malone, these dogs are barking.
So I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. I think right now people are kind of valuing him as like the or like in that RB 20 to 25 range, which I think is fine, like if you want to take a chance on him, but that's just kind of where we're at with it. I'm not high on him. I don't have him on any of my teams. I'm not going to have him on any of my teams. That's just kind of how it is.
Yeah, not somebody I'm actively seeking out, but if I have him on a squad, I'm probably just going to hold on and see what happens because he could come back and be great. They've already shown footage of him running and going through drills, actually like jumping, cutting, running, not just straight line running. And he looks pretty good, but of course that's nothing compared to what you're going to see in a game. So until we see it, I don't fully trust him. Eric, Miles Sanders dealing with a broken hand. Boston Scott boomed last week. Do you think Miles Sanders comes back and kind of steals his thunder? Or is it going to be Boston Scott and Jordan Howard moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, Miles Sanders is not going to play next week. I think I saw that head coach Nick Sirianni came out yesterday already and said that Miles Sanders isn't expected to play against the Cowboys. You know, they're optimistic that he'll have a realistic chance for the wild card game, but Sanders is not a consideration for your fantasy lineups this coming Sunday.
All righty. Well, Matthew, Rojo, we thought last week might be his week, but comes up, he has an ankle injury. So is it Keyshawn Vaughn's chance at redemption finally? What do we think?
Wouldn't that be amazing?
That'd be something.
Or it's Tom Brady's time to throw it 55 times in the game. I don't know. That too. I don't know.
Yeah, they made a big game trade.
Are they even playing for anything? I haven't looked at that. I guess playing for a better seed. Mm-hmm. They can't overtake Green Bay for the bye, so I don't know. They might just rest everyone next week. It's hard to tell. So maybe it is Keyshawn Vaughn week then if they're just rolling it whoever out there. So I don't know. I try to stay away from those teams that aren't really playing for anything in the last week.
Yeah, definitely something to keep an eye on. That's an excellent point, especially if you play DFS. Don't just throw somebody in your lineup because you're like, oh, man, he's great. I don't expect somebody like the Packers to throw Davante Adams out there for a full workload in the last week when they've already got the one seed locked up. Where was I? Sorry, Eric. Antonio Gibson, let's talk about your Washington football team, my man. Got a hip injury. Jarrett Patterson, great week last week. Is he just going to usurp Gibson and Antonio Gibson's no longer a thing? Or do I need to pump the brakes here? I was excited about Patterson coming out of Buffalo.
I would pump the brakes a bit. I mean, Gibson was limited with his hip injury as of last Wednesday before being ruled out because of COVID. You know, but Gibson, he kind of always plays hurt. That's become his, part of his pedigree. And, you know, he had the limited tag, you know, even just 2 days after Sunday's game when the injury occurred, which indicates that, you know, he may have been on track to play last week if it wasn't for COVID. So, you know, I think that he's really just getting some extra time to rest up given his COVID designation last week. I expect Gibson to be out there for this week, barring any setbacks in practice.
I think that might be the motto for the 2021 season. 2020 at that, if it wasn't for COVID. Alrighty, moving on to, well, before we move on, Matthew, I saw you're pumping your fist. Do you need to take a victory lap on Jarrett Patterson? I know he was one you were excited about. I gave you your Amon-Ra moment. Do you need a Patterson moment?
That's okay. I don't need a Patterson moment, but it does feel good that, you know, he's at least getting playing time this year when I got called a stupid idiot for ranking him so high last year. So
you're not a cottonhead in any muggins.
I am sometimes, but
all righty. Let's talk wide receivers, my man. DeAndre Hopkins and Rondale Moore both out last week in Arizona. Are we expecting them both to continue to miss time? I know D Hop with the hamstring injury obviously is going to miss this week. They're hoping to get him ready for the playoffs. Do you think he's somebody they're going to be able to rely on?
D Hop's been said that he's not going to be back till probably the NFC Championship, and anything before that is unrealistic. So that really sucks for the Cardinals' playoff chances. Now, Rondale Moore, he's a lot closer to playing. Seems like he'll play. Being a rookie, is that someone they try to save for the playoffs or not? Who knows? He had some limited practices last week. I'd imagine in a normal week he'd be good to go this week, but once again, it's last week of the season. Who knows? Are they trying to save him for the playoffs? I don't know.
Yeah, they're certainly going to make the playoffs. I think it'd be wise for them to give him another week to rest, but something to keep an eye on if you're looking for a filler for your DFS lineup. Eric, this is one that I'm just super sad about. Michael Gallup was somebody I was excited to see where he ends up next year, and then this week, sadly, tears his ACL. So how do you feel like we should go about dealing with him in Dynasty this offseason and into next year?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be looking to acquire for sure. I think that it will be tough, you know, given the reality that he had this injury so late in the season. So it'll be, you know, pretty much 8 months at the point that, you know, next season starts, which is just not enough to return. But, you know, he may be a late bloomer for someone's fantasy league midway through next season, and he's got plenty of talent and he's a free agent. So he may find a more favorable landing spot during the offseason, which really puts him in a position to succeed. So, you know, I think given his talent and, you know, the reality that a lot of dynasty managers are going to be a lot lower on him because of the injury, I think his cost might be right around the point that I'd be aggressively buying this offseason.
Yeah, definitely somebody I'm trying to get on pretty much any squad I can, even if he ends up somewhere that's not super favorable. I mean, you saw what he could do as the third option at wide receiver in Dallas. And then I think this year he probably passed Amari Cooper as far as target share. And honestly, he looked better than him this year when they were both healthy and they were both playing. He's, I don't know, it might be a stretch. I see Matthew kind of looking back and forth. You probably watch more Dallas football games than I did this year, but I really like Gallup.
I wouldn't go that far, but Gallup was awesome yet this year.
He's not as polished, but just watching him play is always exciting. He's the best toe tap receiver in the NFL.
He caught the touchdown when he tore his ACL.
Yeah, that's insane resilience. So shout out to him for that. Sorry for the confusion on labeling players here, but Matthew, Adam Thielen, our last receiver we're going to talk about in Minnesota. We know he's been dealing with an ankle injury, came back a little bit this week, but now it's looking like he's done for the season. He's going to have surgery. So KJ Osborne, is he somebody you feel like we can trust in week 18 for DFS?
You can't trust him. But could he
define trust?
Could he catch 3 catches for 80 yards, one of them being a 45-yard touchdown, and win you a DFS? Well, yeah, we've seen him do it before. So, and cash games? No, not playing him. And attorney? Maybe throw him in a couple lineups. I don't know. See what happens.
Yeah, you never know. He's certainly a good option if you need a filler, and he's somebody that they've shown that they'll take deep shots to, and he's got a decent offense to do that in. So that does it for us for the receivers. Just a couple of tight ends to cover here. I swapped up the order, so stay on your toes. Eric, Darren Waller in Las Vegas, still dealing with knee injury, back injury, COVID, you name it, he's got it. Is he going to play at all for the rest of the season? Is he donezo? What's up?
Yeah, I mean, after missing 4 games, there's finally some real optimism coming out of the Raiders camp. He's been considered week to week with his weird IT band, COVID, back combo issue, but I think that this is going to be the week that he finally plays, just in time for most people's playoffs.
All right, yeah, so just kidding. That was a good one, Eric.
Drafted him in the 3rd round for a reason.
Are you guys dropping him in your dynasty ranks after all the, you know, super hot start this season, then he kind of fell off, and then he dealt with a bunch of different injuries, kind of ticky-tacky stuff towards the end of the season. Are you changing him in your dynasty ranks moving into next year?
Probably. I'm trying to remember where I had him in my dynasty ranks. I mean, I had him top. I probably had him at 3, I think, yeah, going into the year. He might be 5 now. Like, Kyle Pitts has definitely overtaken him.
Who's 4?
Mark Andrews has definitely. Mark Andrews is my number 1 right now.
Wow.
I know a lot of people say Kyle Pitts, but Mark Andrews number 1. And I would like to say I kind of called that before the year. I wrote an article mentioning that Mark Andrews was an acquire now before he has his elite season, but I digress.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good call. Eric, how do you feel about it?
I'd stick him right around 3 or 4. Totally fine. I mean, I think Kittle, Pitts, definitely there. I'm seeing some people sour on Travis Kelce. But I think that there's some really good young tight ends who could score tons of points in the next couple of years. So I think as long as you're putting Darren Waller somewhere in the top 5, it's just right.
Yeah, watching that game, seemed like Ben Roethlisberger's swan song last night at Heinz Field. I am hopeful that Pittsburgh gets a good quarterback for Najee and Pat Freiermuth for the future, because I think those are two guys that are going to be some dynasty studs if they end up with a good quarterback that can facilitate a good offense for them. And Matthew, you brought him up, Kyle Pitts, dealing with a hamstring injury now. Do we think he's going to be ready to go for this week, or is it going to be Hayden Hurst?
I doubt he's ready to go. And if you're Atlanta, why push him to go? He's clearly a big part of your future for this team. Why rush him back from a hamstring injury just to possibly have him aggravate it worse and make it a problem for the future? No, just rest your young stud and be happy.
Yeah, absolutely. He had over 1,000 receiving yards this season, so kudos to him and that Atlanta offense for getting him the targets, and for him being able to get open that much even without Calvin Ridley on the field. Hopefully Ridley can get back next season. That offense can kind of turn it around, and that Atlanta team can start looking better. I know a lot of people are excited about Pitts. They have a really good corner in AJ Terrell. He's one of the best in the league statistically this season. So if they can kind of just string together these few really good players and come up with a decent team around them, I think they can be competitive. They got to figure it out. They got stuff going on. They just got to get it straightened out in Atlanta. Anybody we left out? Anybody else you guys feel we need to talk about?
No, it was a fun year.
Fun year it was. Is that going to wrap it up, or do we need to have the trivia showdown to end all trivia?
We could just wrap it up because I'm ahead. And
oh, then we need trivia.
Matthew said, let me get that first round by. It's not that easy, my friend. All righty, guys, buckle up. We've got a fun one here. Let me double check our scores because I know it's a close one. All righty. So Matthew has taken the lead from the very first week that we started trivia. We kind of started halfway through the year. I'm excited to see how it goes moving forward. But Matthew's up 2 points. It is 17-15 on the season in favor of you, Matthew. So, Eric, you've got a 2-point hole, But I've got 8 questions for you gentlemen tonight, all centered around things that happened this season. So I'm not really testing your deep, crazy NFL knowledge or anything too wacky and wild. It's all based on this season. So we'll see how much attention you paid.
Oh, boy.
We ready to go?
Let's roll.
All righty, gentlemen. Our first question. Which player had the most targets without a drop this season? Since we have so many, I'm going to institute a 10-second timer on each question.
I'm ready. Okay. Certified truth right here.
I'm pretty sure I'm wrong, but I'm ready.
Alrighty, let's see those answers, gentlemen.
3, 2, oh, shit.
Alrighty, you are both incorrect. Matthew said Justin Jefferson. Yeah. Eric said Devontae Adams. The correct answer was Hunter Henry with 69 targets without a drop.
I would have told. Nice.
Yeah, very nice job by Hunter Henry this season.
Good job, Hunter Henry.
All right.
Let's stop there.
Trayvon Diggs led the NFL with 11 interceptions this season. What other individual defensive stat does he lead the league in this year?
I'm ready.
Wow, we are ready that fast. All righty.
Nice.
Yes, you are both correct. The correct answer is yards allowed in coverage. I think I saw on PFF that he has allowed over 1,000 yards individually in coverage, which is just,
I think technically I'm more possible. Correct because he didn't like give them, like he allowed them. It was an accident.
Give me 0.99 points.
Let me update our scoreboard here. Matthew, that puts you at 18. Eric, that puts you at 16. So we still got a 2-point lead for Matthew. Alrighty, our next question. What NFL QB has the worst winning percentage of all time? He is active. The minimum is 25 starts.
Oh.
He did start last week.
I'm ready.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
Man.
All righty. Eric says Drew Lock.
That would have been incorrect.
Matthew didn't get an answer in. The correct answer is Mike Glennon. He is 6 for 25 in his first 31 starts, which is a 19% winning percentage.
Drew Lock has to be close, to be honest.
He's got 6 wins.
Drew Lock have 25 wins or 25 starts already? I'm not sure off the top of my head. But moving on. Sticking with quarterbacks here. All righty. Seattle Seahawks. How many times have the Seahawks finished the year with a losing record under Russell Wilson, counting 2021?
I'm ready.
All righty.
Oh.
The Fantasy Ferret says 1. Eric says 4. The correct answer is 1. This is the first season under Russell Wilson's quarterbacking leadership that the Seattle Seahawks have not had a winning season. So Matthew takes a 3-point lead here. It is 19-16. Sun's getting real low, Eric.
Ayo.
You have to pick it up.
We'll call it a comeback.
I was trying to remember when the 7-9 year that they made the playoffs was, but that was before his time.
I believe that was the year before him or 2 years before him.
Yeah, when Marshawn Lynch said, hold my... That was fun.
Yep.
Fun game.
Mm-hmm. Hold my Skittles.
This one, there are 2 points available. If you can guess the correct number, you'll also get a point. That'll make more sense in a second. All righty. For the first time in his career, Tom Brady was shut out by the New Orleans Saints in week 16. That ended a streak of 255 straight starts without being shut out. What quarterback holds the NFL record for the most starts without being shut out? Bonus point available if you know how many starts it was. This quarterback is retired.
I'm ready.
I think I'm ready.
Alrighty, let's see those answers. The correct answer is Drew Brees with 304 starts. Neither one gets it correct. Eric says Peyton Manning with 400 starts, and that's a lot of starts. And Matthew says Brett Favre 320. Both of those are incorrect. Sorry, gentlemen.
Hey, tough.
All righty. We've got another two-pointer on the board. So Cam Newton this season eclipsed a career rushing yard mark of 75 rushing touchdowns. Name the only active player with more career rushing touchdowns than Cam Newton. And how many touchdowns he scored, if you can guess it correctly. You can get a bonus point.
I think I'm ready.
All right.
I'm ready.
All righty, let's see those answers.
Oh, crap.
The correct answer is Adrian Peterson at 120. You both said
dang, 18. Nice, dude. So I felt rushed with the second half of my answer.
And said 128. Eric said 80. But both of you get a point for guessing Adrian Peterson correctly. All righty, gentlemen. We've just got a couple left here. I think the math isn't adding up in your favor, Eric, but we're going to finish this strong and see if you can cut the lead. When was the last time that the New York Jets beat the Philadelphia Eagles?
That's a good question. When was the last time the New York Jets beat the Philadelphia Eagles?
I bet JJ can tell you.
All right, I'm ready, though.
I'm ready.
All righty, let's see those answers. The correct answer is never. The Jets are 0-11.
Has to count for never.
I feel like
the NFL didn't exist.
Eric said 1820. The what, NFL Eric, did not
Eric,
exist.
Eric can have that point.
Wow. Eric can have that point. Matthew said 1994, which is somehow closer. Alrighty, my final question for you on the season. Justin Tucker broke the all-time record for the longest made field goal in NFL history this year against the Lions of all teams. How long was the kick?
I'm ready.
Make sure you carry the zero, Matthew.
All right, I think I'm ready.
Counting on his toes. Alrighty, let's see those answers. The correct answer was 66 yards.
Nice.
Eric, with a nice miss, said 69 points. Matthew is correct with 66.
It was a very nice miss.
Well done.
Matthew, congratulations, sir. Our next man up trivia champion. Doubled your lead tonight. Finished 21-17 final score.
You know, you got to finish strong.
Yeah. You guys want my tiebreaker question just for giggles?
Sure.
Alrighty.
I might giggle.
Oh,
excuse me. I'm going to set a timer for 15 seconds. You can earn a point each if you can name the last 10 Super Bowl champions. You don't have to give me a year. Just name the last 10 in reverse order. Ready?
Reverse.
Go.
Reverse
order. Eric typing furiously. Matthew's licking his chops. 5 seconds left. Type faster. And time. All righty. We got... Eric, I don't think watched any Super Bowl in the last 5 years.
I felt very rushed.
He says, Saints, Seahawks, Patriots, times three, Steelers without an E at the end of it. Matthew would have got 2 bonus points with Bucks and Chiefs in our last 2 Super Bowls.
Yes, that makes sense.
All right, guys, that was my just for fun tiebreaker. Yeah, sorry. I thought about doing like halftime shows or something just absolutely preposterous, but I mean, overall, I've got to give it to you. It was an excellent job, a great year altogether. I appreciate you, gentlemen, all of your hard work this year and all the research you did. You made my job as a host very easy, and I appreciate it. But that does it for us this week and for this season on the Next Man Up. Of course, if you have any questions or if you want to pick our DFS minds, they may not be the brightest, but we'll at least give you something to laugh at. Gentlemen, tell us where we can find you on the Twitters. Eric, how about you?
All right. I am the Nighthawk PT. You can find me on Twitter at FF_Nighthawk.
Alrighty, thank you, sir. Matthew, our trivia champion, I will have a gift in the mail for you very soon, sir, as you're winning. Sorry, Eric. I'll send you a hug. Matthew, where can we find you on Twitter?
I'm going to cry. That's so nice. At Fantasy Ferret, and shout out to my dad for winning his first ever fantasy football championship this year. He's been playing for 3 years now after I convinced him to do it, and he finally made it to the top.
He finally did it. Shout out, Mr. Yeah. Ferret. Congratulations.
Papa Ferret.
Alrighty. I've always wanted to be a grandpa to a ferret. Maybe my daughter will get one day. Alrighty. Well, that does it for us. If you're looking for me on Twitter, you can find me at KAllen_4. Gentlemen, I truly do appreciate it. I don't just say that to make your heads larger. They're perfectly sized. I wouldn't want to do that. Big shout out to John C. Music for all of our intro and outro that you guys got to enjoy this season. If you're looking for him, you can find him JONSEEMusic@gmail.com. Again, shout out you guys for all of your help this season. And thank you to Rider Dynasty for hosting us, letting us make this all happen. I know big things are coming for us next season. That does it for us. Have a great offseason. If you're looking for some Dynasty insight on injuries, if you're looking for updates, if we can help you in your drafts, let us know. Reach out to us on Twitter. We'll probably have an off-season show and talk about rookie injury outlooks and stuff moving forward once we get a little closer to the draft. But that's going to do it for us tonight, guys. Whatever you do, don't forget, the best ability is availability. Peace.
Adios.